Fourth and final hour of 3D on this Monday afternoon. Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you. Okay, we are in just a quick stall. Looks like John Robinson is heading toward the podium. Don't forget, this Wednesday, Tin Roof on Broadway. Cody McLeod and Kyle Turris will be the Predators' guests. Let's head over to the Titans facility.
After numerous conversations with Amy, we have decided to part ways with Mike Mularkey as our head coach. I'd like to thank him for all he's done for this team, this community, and wish him the best moving forward. We will begin the search immediately for a new head coach. Our goal remains the same. We are committed to our fans, to bring a championship home to this great city and state. These decisions are never easy, yet Amy and I remain steadfast, and the most important thing is the team. Putting our players in position to maximize their ability in all three phases of the game. I'm very proud of the success we have had over the last two seasons and look forward to working with our new head coach and moving us closer to and ultimately winning a championship. We'll begin the search immediately and update you through our PR team, Robbie and his staff, upon completion of each candidate that we interview. With that, I will open it up for questions.
The fact that Mike was unwilling to make staff changes, is that one of the factors, the reason he was parted ways?
I think there's a lot of factors that go into decisions that you make that impact the football team. This is obviously a big one. So I would that's certainly something that was discussed.
Can you go from talk about contract extension to him being out this morning?
Like I said, those are conversations that Amy and I had ongoing back and forth. And in the end, we felt best for the team to go a different direction.
Can you detail some of the factors that played into that?
Like I said, there's a lot of factors that go into every decision that are made.
Where did things stand yesterday when he spoke to us?
I would say the decision was made this morning.
Did things he said yesterday impact the decision about his staff?
I would say yes.
What was it about the direction of the team that you were unhappy enough about to make this change?
Listen, I think, like I said, we've done a lot of good things here over the last 2 years. I felt like we needed to go a different direction and maximize the skill sets of the players on the field.
Any statement said couldn't find common ground. Is that common ground between you and Mike, between Amy and Mike?
I think in any organization, not to speak for other teams, but it's the ownership, the head coach, and the general manager. They all have to be on the same page.
Mike said yesterday he thought that Marcus had made progress this year. Do you agree with that assessment?
Marcus is a really good football player. I think if you just look at the statistics, it didn't quite say that, but I think Marcus made a lot of really good plays for us this year.
How much better can Marcus get, John?
What qualities are you looking forward to in the next head coach?
Leader of men. Obviously, the things that are stamped out there in those pillars, team first, detailed, tough, dependable, and one that's going to, like I said, maximize the abilities of the players in all three phases of the game.
John, how important is it to get somebody who can maximize Marcus's abilities going into his fourth year?
Well, I think whoever the head coach is, you want to maximize the abilities of all your players. That's what's the beauty of this game is it's a team game. It takes 11 guys. Marcus is certainly an important part of that. The quarterback position is a very important, if not the most important position on the field.
Have you or will you have a conversation with Marcus about what he feels best doing, what he hopes to do, and would that be any level of factor in the direction we go?
I have a great relationship with Marcus, and I'm sure we'll talk. He's kind of catching his breath right now, and after a long season, and look forward to chatting with him about the team.
John, what did you think of the job Terry Robiskie did this year?
I like Terry. I think Terry's got a great relationship with the players. Again, to me, on that, there's a lot that goes into game planning. There's a lot of voices on both sides of the ball and in the kicking game that go into planning for a game on a weekly basis.
John, you've been in the league a long time. How much past relationships maybe help you in the decision, and how big is the pool that you're looking at for us the next head coach?
We've started that search this morning, going through names and bios and starting to build a list of potential candidates. It certainly it helps to have relationships in the league and be able to call on those relationships that might have a connection with a potential candidate, even though I might not have a one-on-one relationship with that person, to someone you can trust that will, kind of shoot you straight on the candidate.
Will you exclusively hire the next head coach?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Will you be the exclusive one to hire the next head coach?
I think Amy Adams Strunk owns the team, so I think that she's the ultimate say. But I will have a very strong input into who leads our team moving forward.
Will it be a 50-50 type of partnership like it was with you and Mike, or will you assume more control of the say-so in personnel, things like that?
Well, I've always had say-so in personnel. I would just say that we haven't talked about any of that yet.
John, what would you say to those who say this all boils down to a power struggle between Mike Malarkey and John Robinson?
I think this boils down to doing what we think is best for the football team moving forward, taking the next step.
What kind of culture that you guys have built here while still moving forward?
I think that locker room is made up of a bunch of really good guys, a bunch of guys that are extremely passionate about football, that believe in our beliefs of what Titan football is going to look like, and remaining steadfast in our approach to building the team.
Was you worried all about the fact that a lot of those guys came out in public support for Mike and belief in him, and now you're changing course on them?
Listen, I've got a great relationship with all the players in the locker room. That's the NFL. Change happens a lot of places throughout the course of time in this league. So I have an open door policy that they can come and talk, and we can talk about things. I think that's important.
How important is that the next coach exhibit a degree of flexibility in terms of game to game and how to use Marcus and all of those big decisions?
I think that's important in today's league. I think that the NFL game has evolved a little bit, and I think that being able to, like I said earlier in my statement, maximize the ability of players, again, to put the team in the best position to win football games.
This is going to be Marcus's third head coach in four pro seasons. Where does that fall on the level of your concern?
Marcus is a pretty resilient guy. He's a very mentally tough guy. He takes a lot from the standpoint of ownership and things. I have zero concern in Marcus being able to adapt and learn and do what's best to get the offense going.
Why do you think the offense took a step back, John, from last year to this year? Why do you think the offense took the step back that it did?
I don't know. I think that's some of the things that we're searching for.
Prior to the decision this morning, did any players come to you with concern of the direction of the offense or the direction that the coaching staff was leading them?
No.
Approximately how many candidates would you like to pull from and maybe interview before you select a new coach?
I think we don't have a set number on how many we would like to talk to. I think we'll talk to as many as it takes to get the right guy to lead this team moving forward.
Are you willing to wait until after the Super Bowl if you're not able to talk to a candidate until after that?
Like I said, I think there's not a set number on candidates, and We want the right guy for the job.
You just start two of the playoffs. What does it say about where the bar is set and success that you're demanding in this next approach?
I don't think there's literally a set bar. Again, I think it's the path of the team and the direction of the team and utilization of the, you know, the players, and I think that's really what we're looking for.
So you're like having the direction of the team right now and making the change. What is the issue with the current direction of the team?
I think it's it boils down to consistency. That's on a week in and week out basis, moving forward, showing progress in all three phases of the game.
Did you feel like this team had reached its ceiling or its plateau with Mike as the head coach?
I think there's a lot of good football players on this team. I think that it was at the end of the day, we felt like we needed to go down a different path to move forward.
How long was the extension you were discussing?
We hadn't talked about that.
How close are you guys to being championship contenders?
I think we've got a really good football team. I think we've got a good roster. We've got a good makeup of players. I think the personalities in that locker room are very good. I think they really love each other and they play hard for each other. I think they're tough and resilient. I think, you know, not to put a timetable on it, but I think that the pieces are in place for us to move forward.
So the decision was made this morning. How long had this been a possible inevitability? Can you kind of help us with the timeline there a little bit? Because they had the public backing from Amy a week ago. What transpired in this past week to get this?
Again, like I said, there's a lot of things that we've talked about, Amy and I, about the direction of the team moving forward. And this morning it was decided that we felt like we needed to go a different direction. That was a personal conversation. I'd like to keep that personal.
Is that just you? Is that you and Amy?
It was myself and Steve Underwood.
John, we live in a different age now. There's been a lot of Titans fans that have come forward on social media, various platforms, saying that they prefer not to have Mike as the head coach. Some people have gone as far as saying, I won't support the team as long as he's still the head coach. Did that play any at all a part in your decision?
Again, I love our fans. I think that I made that abundantly clear in my opening statement when I was sitting here less than 2 years ago about what this team means to me, what this city means to me, and what this state means to me. There's nothing more that I want for our fans than to bring a championship here. And I feel like it's my charge to put the team in the best position to do that.
How do you answer the candidates' concerns about the back and forth support and the ultimate let go today over the last few weeks?
I think this is a very attractive job for a lot of candidates. I look forward to working with whoever the next head coach is. I think that they will see that myself and Amy will be unified with them in our vision for the football team.
How close are you with Josh McDaniels?
I can't comment on any current coaches that are under contract.
Who do you anticipate being in the room with you during the interview?
We haven't really got into all the specifics of that. I would say certainly myself and Amy will be in there.
Is getting the late start on the search hurt you guys in finding a candidate?
Yeah, I kind of touched on that earlier. I think that, I think this is an attractive job. I think that we'll go through the candidate list and when we're able to talk to potential candidates that we think can move this organization and this team forward, we'll talk to them.
What's the status of Mike's staff?
They're currently under contract.
Just to clarify.
Is LeBeau amongst those, or is he 1 year? He was on a 1 year deal,
correct? It's my understanding he's still under contract, but I'll clarify that.
Will those guys be granted permission to talk to others if someone's interested?
That's on my to-do list this afternoon is to call those call all the assistant coaches and talk to those guys individually.
Just to clarify, if any discussion of a contract extension for Mike was contingent on changes to the coaching staff, correct?
No, we did not talk about that.
Are there members of that staff that you would like to keep? that you would like to stay?
I think we've got some good coaches on our staff.
Could Mike have said or done anything over the last 2 days to keep them in the position today?
Yeah, I don't like to retrospect and think, you know, would have, could have, should have. I think, you know, we've made the decision to move forward, and we're looking forward to getting the next head coach in here to lead our team.
Sorry, Amy was very fond of Mike and talked about that. What does this say about her commitment to win football and to you that she was willing to make this change given the personal relationship?
I would say that I've worked for now three owners in this league, and I would put Amy Adams Strunk at the top with the other two that I've worked for. She is extremely easy to talk to. Her and I have a great relationship. She understands football. She understands the game. Nothing is more important to her than this franchise and what it's meant to her family. And she wants to do what she thinks and what we think is best for the team.
John, how important is this?
Bring a fan to championship. How long would a new coach in place? I mean, if you were to set a time frame on how long it would take to do something like that with a new coach, what would you say?
Yeah, I talked earlier about not really setting, you know, bars and timetables on things. You know, I'm looking forward to working with whoever the next head coach is and building up on what we've got going here and going forward with it.
How important is this moment to you personally, your first chance to hire a coach in this league?
Well, again, like I said, this was not an easy decision. This was not a gratifying decision for me. But again, as I stated, there's very few things that are more important to me than the Tennessee Titans.
Mike's number one charge, it seemed, when he was hired, was to see that the quarterback was protected. Is that still a top of the list priority for you as you move forward?
Yeah, like I said, I think the quarterback position is, if not the most, one of the most important positions on the field. So making sure that he's in a position to maximize his skill set and be protected is definitely of utmost importance.
Knowing one day that you could possibly be in this position of hiring a new head coach, what's the best advice you've been given in your career if you were found yourself in this position?
You know, I think it's just get as much information as you can. It's very similar to prospects in the draft process or when you're making a trade. Or you're signing a free agent. Those are paramount decisions that affect the football team. Get as much information as you can about it, and do what's best for the team. Try to go with your instinct. Trust what you've learned. Trust your background in football, and move forward with it. And do everything you can to make it work.
Is it fair to say you built this roster with Mike's style of offense in mind? And worked closely with him while he was head coach. And is it fair to say that? And do you believe in that kind of offense, that kind of football?
Well, I think our players could stylistically, you know, play in a lot of offenses. I think that, you know, receivers, it's get open and catch. Runners, it's make yards when they hand it to you. I think we've got a solid roster on both offense and defense and in the kicking game.
Evaluating the coaching search, I know there are lots of people that you're familiar with from around the league that you've had ties with in the past and know. How important is that in evaluating them versus somebody that maybe you don't know that would be coming in completely from the outside?
Yeah, great question. I think we're going into it with really no preconceived notions. We have a vision for what we want the next head coach to look like, and we're looking forward to talking to candidates and seeing if they fit that bill.
How important will maximizing Mariota's talent mix? Does that include him in the run game, or would you like to see his development evolve to more strictly the passing game?
Again, that's something that the new head coach and I will talk about how to utilize personnel. On both sides of the ball and in the kicking game. I think Marcus has shown that he is a more than capable runner. And he's pretty good at throwing it too. So, again, whatever we think is best to help us play at a consistent level is what we'll do.
Do you believe most of Marcus's struggles this season have been coaching issues?
No. I think there's a lot of factors that go into the success of players. You know, it's there's a myriad of things that, you know, I don't have enough time to go through every single thing that affects them.
Have you already asked for permission to talk to anyone yet?
Like I said, our PR team will talk to and put out once the interview the candidates who have interviewed are complete.
You expect to play this week or
maybe potentially.
Did the timing of this have anything to do possibly, because you said you woke up this morning and it happened after that, with candidates who might be available or might come available, the potential pool of candidates that would be available now as opposed to maybe not next year or not the year after?
No, I mean, I wouldn't really read into anything on the timing of things. Again, I think in the end, the discussion was back and forth with Amy about moving forward and taking the team to the next step.
What's the risk of letting go a guy who just produced consecutive winning seasons after you had won draft pick and took you two rounds deep into the playoffs?
Yeah, I think anytime you make a decision that affects the team, there's always risk involved. There was risk with the trades that we made. There was risk with some of the things that we did. But in the end, you try to just do what's best for the team moving forward.
Does the candidate have to have a experience at the NFL level, or would you consider a college head coach in the mix?
Again, I think, you know, we would exhaust all possibilities. Again, whoever we think is best to move the team forward.
John, you win your first playoff game as an organization in 14 years, but then also fire the coach. How would you, in terms of a success, what would you say the 2017 season was?
I thought we took a lot of steps in the right direction. I thought some of the second-year players got better, and I think some of the rookies came on. I think we're heading in the right direction and with more consistency. In all three phases of the game, I think we can continue that progress.
How important will the new head coach be to align philosophy with what you want in development of your players?
Paramount.
Well, I guess this is a good time to break. I don't know what happened there to the feed. Maybe that was toward the end anyway. We'll come back and discuss some of the things we heard from John Robinson. We were playing his press conference live. We'll do that next on 3D, 102.5 The Game. You just heard John Robinson's press conference live here on 3D. Close to 25 minutes worth of John Robinson, and really had a small opening statement, and the rest was all Q&A with reporters. Now, ask me the question that I didn't answer that you threw out right as we were coming back during
okay.
the break.
Because there was a lot to weed through there. There's no question John Robinson is smart. He's not going to give you too much. So we are trying to read between the lines and then work with whatever little nuggets that he did give us. So I'll ask you, what was the number one thing that you got out of there? What was the number one piece of substance that you took from that long press conference?
There are a lot of worthy candidates, and I'll say this. I'll have a 1 and then kind of a 1A. Like I said, it's hard to narrow this down, but since you just asked me and I've got to think, what is something that really grabbed my attention? I thought, when asked early on, did the things that were said yesterday from Mike Mularkey at his press conference factor into the decision? Quote, John Robinson, I would say yes. I remember going.
That was the follow-up to when did you make the decision? Well, we made the decision this morning. And so the follow-up was, well, did what he say in the press conference impact that? And he said, I would say yes.
Now, the quick 1A is, did you notice how many times early on he referenced winning a championship? He said that several times.
Right. In other words, the goal is not to be 9-7 and make the playoffs. The goal is to get good enough to win a championship.
To be in a position
to be competing for championships
year in and year out. Yeah.
And so without
that's what I took.
You know, he did not want to say anything bad about Mike Mularkey, which was smart, or any of the other coaches. But I think it's clear when you read between the lines that he felt like this was not the group that is going to take me to championship level.
Okay. I'll ask you the same question. What stood out to you if you had to narrow it down of everything we heard? What jumped out at you? What jumped off the page?
I think when you look at what he said, the quote that jumped out to me the most was he was asked about getting the most out of your players. And there was a couple of lines of questioning at different times, but this is the one that jumped out to me. In today's league, the NFL has evolved. You have to maximize the ability of players. He also, later, this was the other quote that jumped out to me in the same theme. Stylistically, our players can play in a lot of offenses. To me, you read between the lines and you say, okay, he didn't want to say he had to change the offensive coaches, but he basically was saying this is an offensive philosophy that is archaic and is not evolving with the times. In today's league, the NFL has evolved. And
which
he thinks
clearly,
he can do a better job of finding a next offensive mind, whether it's the head coach or the coordinator, that can get more out of these players, as we talked about. First-round pick at left tackle, first-round pick at right tackle, first-round pick fifth overall at wide receiver, first-round pick second overall at quarterback, second-round pick as your tailback. He feels like the talent is there, but they are not getting the most out of their ability.
Which sounds to me like he was trying to distance himself from their philosophy, their offensive
yes,
philosophy.
Absolutely.
He was trying to say, I'm not signing up for exotic smash mouth. That's what I took from it,
yep,
from some of the stuff you were throwing out.
I think we've heard the last of that term.
Yep. Now we'll ask you, what jumped out you took away from the press conference? You just heard it here live. What jumped out at you? 737-1025. We'll start up in Hendersonville. Chad, welcome in.
Thank you, fellas. I can't stop watching the end of that Viking game last night. I want to say shout out to all the Viking fans across the country, because that's if you want to talk about heartbreak, it's been legendary. And for that to happen to that fan base, never seen a fan base more emotional and more deserving probably in my lifetime. So shout out to those fellas.
Ironically, I was just looking at their number a minute ago, and the numbers are coming out. 46.1 million viewers watching the end of the Minnesota-New Orleans game, which is a massive number for a divisional round.
You know, and especially in a year where all we've talked about is the opposite, right, with the numbers being just
yep,
at a historical low. I think yesterday, last night, we got reminded how great the NFL football is and how this is really an American culture and just how awesome football is. But I want to move on to the Titans. None of this has surprised me. None at all. I mean, John Robinson, all along, I think since the day he got the job, has wanted his own guy. And I think he's kind of had his hands tied, and I think he's kind of lobbied for this kind of power to be able to make this call. And I think all along he wants his own guy. And I think his guy is Josh McDaniels. I'd be shocked if Josh McDaniels is not the next coach of the Titans. I think this has been in the works. I guarantee the two of them probably met up in New England this last weekend, and I just have got my mind convinced Josh McDaniels is going to be the head coach. And I'll take it one more step further. I don't think he's going to want to go with Marcus Mariota long term either. So just throw that nugget out there.
Well, I'd be surprised one, there's no talk of them drafting the next guy. I mean, their pick has come out. They have the 25th pick in the first round this year. I mean, I don't really think that's in the cards.
At the same time, you don't have to make the big decision on Marcus Mariota until after the next year. So that's another reason to say, okay, here's my new coach. Give him a year before we have to make the decision on reinvesting in Marcus Mariota. But I think it would be a step back if you had to start over and
try to
find another guy.
They've already been doing that. How's that worked out?
I mean, he's done enough.
Jake Locker, they've done all that.
You feel like you can win if you can get the most out of them.
If they've missed again, then we're talking about five more years of rebuilding.
Yeah.
Again and again. No, that's the last thing you want to be talking about. You hope that you've moved way past that. I mean, I think that has a lot to do with it. We've already discussed that all day. I don't think it's, to his point, I don't think it's a done deal. I don't think it's lock, stock, 100%. Marcus Mariota, we know for sure, should receive a $125 million contract, and he is the guy moving forward. Nobody has any doubts. I'm not willing to go there.
There's a lot of different,
to his point.
There's but different levels.
To act like he's going to come in and be like, yeah, we need a new quarterback. I don't buy that either.
No. But you give the new guy a chance to work with Marcus Mariota for a year before you then decide what's his value. Smart move.
One other thing that I was having a hard time trying to figure out. Did you notice early on, John Robinson said, coaching changes was a conversation that was discussed.
It was discussed.
With Mike Mularkey.
Those
were his words.
That was discussed.
Coaching changes was a conversation that I discussed with Mike Mularkey. Then later in the press conference.
By the way, like 10 or 15 minutes later, it came back to it. He was point blank asked, so let me make sure I've got this straight. It was something like that. He said something like he would not be retained. Part of the reason you went in another direction was he was not willing to make staff changes. When put sort of in a point blank barrel, John Robinson sort of backed off.
He danced
said,
around.
No, he said, no, I wouldn't put it that way. But either way, I think it was clear that that was what needed to happen. And I think at the end of the day, this is what John Robinson wanted.
I think
he wanted to be fair. I think Amy Adams Strunk wanted to see a situation where Mike Mularkey could stay, don't you think? Just in reading between the lines, I think Amy Adams Strunk really likes Mike Mularkey.
Yes.
Thought, if you're being fair, we made the playoffs. We haven't made the playoffs in a long time. We want a playoff game. We really want to make a change. But I think John Robinson steadfastly was saying, I think we can go in a different direction. I think we want
to
go
back to what we've already discussed. To me, it was loud and clear. John Robinson was trying to distance himself from Exotic Smash Mouth.
But the question is,
he's letting everybody know, I'm not on board Exotic Smash Mouth.
Right. Somewhere in there,
though. This is not what I believe is the best way to get Marcus Mariota on this offense cranked up week in and week out.
I think that was the albatross that had been there since the middle of the season. But the question is when, because if you believe John Robinson, it was this morning.
Yeah.
Where Amy Adams, or maybe it was last night sometime, where somewhere she came around to, this isn't going to work. So let's part ways. I'm sure there was a probably good financial severance for Mike Mularkey. He still had another year on the contract. As you heard John Robinson say, all the assistants are still under contract. But somewhere there was a convincing of A.B. Adams, this isn't going to work with Mike Mularkey as the head coach. We're not going to be able to work through all of this. He stays and we get a new offense.
Why do you think it's been so hard for anybody, and I mean anybody, Mike Mularkey, Marcus Mariota, and now John Robinson? Nobody can answer the question, what was wrong with the offense? Why was it never a complete package this year? If you notice, we've heard now sound bites from everybody, and nobody – that's a good question. That's a great question.
Right.
I have no answers for it.
I think.
Why is it nobody's willing to answer that question?
I'll give you my theory. Because the people involved, Mike Mularkey, Terry Robiskie, and on down the line, are likable people. Sylvester Kroom, the running back coach. I mean, you won't find nicer people.
Agreed. From,
and I don't think anybody wants to say the philosophy wasn't right. You know, the game had passed those guys by. I don't think they want to say that about them. He was even asked about Robiskie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Joe Rexford, I think it was the one that said, how would you evaluate Terry Robiskie? Kind of an open-ended question. He tried to say as many nice things about Terry Robiskie as he could. Players love him. That's the number one thing.
Yep.
But I think deep down he thought, these aren't the right guys to take the talent to the next level.
We've heard the players be very vocal about Mike Mularkey. What's interesting is they all have social media available to them. We know a lot of them are on social media, a lot. Has anybody seen them taking up for Mike Mularkey today?
No.
We think that's not a little bit strange? Where's the outcry of how could you do this to our coach? They've been supporting him the whole time. Why not today? I just think that's a little strange. Richard in Fayetteville. Richard, what's up?
Hey, how y'all doing, guys?
Good.
It's not really that strange. If I like the boss who got fired today and I still had a job and they want to bring in somebody else, I wouldn't be verbally or publicly saying, you know, making headwinds about the guy, about my boss just being fired, because I could be fired next. Players play, coaches coach, GM in front office, you know, make decisions, and that's what happens. My opinion is that I think this has been in the works a while. I think it would have been a lot easier for them to lose the Jacksonville game and not make the playoffs and do this, or even to lose against Kansas City and do this. This kind of smells like it was already baked in a cake. Because
you're saying the oven was on. It was up to temperature. It was ready for it just to be placed in the oven. It was ready to go. It was preheated.
I think it was already in the oven and it was baked.
Okay.
The fact that Titans end up beating Jacksonville and Kansas City sort of threw a monkey wrench in there.
Okay.
And I'm not opposed to the decision, because I've been wanting Mularkey gone. I just can't believe this is going on in Nashville. I just can't believe it. I'm glad he's gone, but I didn't really want him gone after winning the playoff game and losing to a team that we weren't going to beat anyway.
Okay. Well, thank you, Richard. I mean, look, this has been out there for 3 weeks. We already had the conversation with Ian Rappaport, NFL Network. I do think John Robinson clearly was not going to come out and say it today, but look, you were making the reference yourself. I think you're right. The oven was more than preheated. I think the cake was put in the oven. It was cooking.
The statement by Amy Adams Strunk this morning, and maybe we should read it again, because it would lead you to believe that they really were exploring a contract extension. It wasn't just he's coming back. Because I think it became pretty clear, well, if I'm coming back, I want a contract extension.
But it
didn't make any sense from any angle that you would just come back going into the last year of your contract. I don't think Mike Mularkey was comfortable with that.
But when you say John Robinson knew Mike Mularkey's response would be,
yes,
no way. Like, I'm gonna set the – because I don't believe John Robinson was really on board of bringing him back. He wanted to go in a different direction, but he's like, I'm going to make it really difficult for him, and I know probably his answer and how he's going to handle it, so in the end, he'll get what he wants, John Robinson.
Right.
That Mularkey's going to be like, no way, no how, it's going to be Mike Munchak all over, I'm not doing that.
Right. In other words, you convey the message to Mike Mularkey where he feels like, I just don't feel like I'm the guy. You certainly got that vibe in moments after they had beaten the Chiefs.
Yep. Well, clearly. Hey, shots were fired.
I never really got the sense that I'm the guy. And so I think that writing had been on the wall there. But remember, here's what Amy Adams said. We did discuss extending his future with our team over the past week. But in those discussions about the direction of the team, it became evident we saw different paths to achieve greater success.
Donovan up in Franklin, Kentucky. Donovan, welcome in.
Yeah, hey, guys. I'm actually from Brentwood, but I'm on the road. I will suggest this. As an old sales guy, we always use the term, a good life will keep you from a great life. Down in Florida, years ago, I remember Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I was living there at the time. Had a terrible culture. They brought in Tony Dungy, and Tony changed everything about that team and got them into the playoffs a couple years in a row, matter of fact. but it just couldn't turn that final corner, you know. So along comes Gruden. We know the result of that. I think we got the same story going on, we hope, here in Nashville. God bless Mr. Mularkey. He's changed the culture. We now have a foundation to go from. But again, let me use that phrase. A good life will keep you from a great life. Let's get on with it. Thank you.
Thank you, Donovan. Good example, but you just hope that you make sure that you can have that Gruden hire that can change it. It's kind of like Georgia saying, Mark Richt, we feel like this is as far as he can take us. Now we have to get the guy that can take the next step. Georgia made the correct call. They got Kirby Smart, and they were within an eyelash of winning a national championship. But so many times that change does not result in what you were looking for. And sometimes it even goes the other direction.
The Browns and the Chargers under Marty Schottenheimer would be examples of he got fired because they couldn't get to the next level. But right now, you're sitting there, and both of those franchises say, "Boy, we'd love to get back to the fact to the times where we're making the playoffs every year and being right there." So you can go better.
I believe
but
Ole
you
Miss
can go worse.
David Cutcliffe, thanks.
Oh yeah,
you've gotten us as far as we can go with you. We'll take our chances with the next guy. They hired Coach O. The rest is history. And then eventually Hugh Freeze. The rest is history. We'll come back. Bob, Fred, if you're still on the line, we'll get to your calls. We'll come back and wrap up 3D next. Hope Victor Arvidsson's okay. He did leave practice, not put any weight on a leg. So haven't heard any follow-up to that. Philip Forsberg being
out. You
probably
won't until tomorrow.
Yeah. Vegas, of course, in town. Predators and Golden Knights. At least Golden Knights for the time being. I mean, you know, seems to be lawsuit pending every month.
James Neal and Cody Eakin, a couple of forwards for them. Did not skate at their practice today. So we'll find out more tomorrow. But, of course, today the focus on the press conference we just had with John Robinson, the Titans GM. Very intriguing.
Bob in Franklin. Bob, what's up?
Hey, guys. Appreciate it. You all are doing a great job. I've got a different take on this thing. Since Floyd Reese was the GM, the one glaring factor that this team has not had is we have not had a solid offensive blank. We've got two parts of a five-part deal right now, and that's one of them's now on IR. The other one, of course, is LeJuan. But the troubles go back to even Rustin Webster and these guys. They did not recruit or did not draft offensive linemen that were capable of playing in the NFL. What have we got in the middle? We got, I guess, one of them we drafted, and then we got some free agent Chinese trades or whatever.
Well, now, they tried with Chance Warmack. It just didn't work out.
Yes. Well, I mean, look at the draft last year. I think Robinson had this on his radar long before this season. And you look at the way he drafted. Anybody with any kind of football acumen at all could look at the team last year. What do we need? We need an offensive line. What did he draft? He drafted offensive players, basically. And he was, I think, at that time, was setting things up to make the change, and that's where we are today. I will say this, knowing the previous administration under Bud, if Bud had wanted to keep Mike Mularkey, Mike would have been there. Now, that's it. And Amy, I think, has relented and let John Robinson come through and make the call. And we're going to see how it works. But I got news for Mr. Robinson. If he doesn't get some offensive line in there, I don't care who he's got back there. He can have Tom Brady and all of them he wants. It's not going to work.
Yep.
And that's it.
Okay. Thank you, Bob. Look, they have to address the interior line for sure. They're going to need more guards. But, look, the offensive line is not their most glaring weakness. It's not. They got to address other things. What do you got, Willie?
According to Tom Pelissero, Pelissero. Josh McDaniels is expected to accept a head coaching position for the Colts. Network, Tom Pelissero reporting.
Ooh.
Josh McDaniels expected to accept a head coaching offer from the Colts.
Hmm.
He might be off the board.
Interesting. Fred in Cool Springs, what's up?
Hey, guys. Hey, thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I guess the word of the day would be mediocrity. Malarkey was a middle-of-the-road NFL coach. He was always going to be that. And they drafted a mediocre, in my opinion, an overrated quarterback out of Oregon. And it's almost like a bad relationship when a husband goes and buys an expensive car and they don't want to go to the wife and say it was a mistake. Mariota was mediocre coming out of Oregon. He was overrated. And I think your previous caller is correct. They need a new offensive coordinator, and that's what's going to happen with a new coach. And that's my phone call, and y'all have a great day.
All right, thank you. You too, Fred. Well, he was not a mediocre college player. He was a fantastic college player. He was a Heisman Trophy winner. He was great in college, and he's been really good in the pros. He hasn't been great yet. Through 3 years, I would say the grade is really good. Is that fair? Not great.
I think, though, what we just saw, though, from the beginning of the show to the end of the show, we had an interesting timing of all of this for when we happen to be on the air. Sometimes you get lucky, sometimes you don't. But I thought when they made the decision to part ways, you would hear a lot more about Josh McDaniels. But by the end of the show, it looks like he is going to be in the division coaching your arch rival.
Mm.
So you asked earlier when we were talking about McDaniels, I said it. I said I thought he's going to make a play. It all starts and ends with McDaniels. Well, plan B. Come on down. Maybe it's Mike Vrabel, who is, I guess, going to get an interview. Who else is out there?
We'll talk about plan B tomorrow. Everybody have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you at 10 a.m.
Go home, but you can't stay here.